thanks to the Forum 6 Tamworth and Wagga Wagga and the Odeon 5 Orange. It's the Talking Flickster podcast with JT and Grant Lee.
Yeah, hello and welcome to our Talking Flickster. JT here with Mr. Lee. We made it to 101 episodes, Mr. Lee.
Yay, 101 episodes. And we always thought we'd only make it past the pilot.
Yeah, I know. We're still here. That's good, though. It means that, somebody likes it.
Someone likes it. But I have to say, our listenership is going up, and that's what we like. People are listening to our podcast, and that's what we want. Whether it's just Tamworth, Orange and Wagga, but it's around the world as well. So that's pretty impressive.
Very impressive indeed. And how did you go? How was the party after we wrapped it up last Friday? It went late into the afternoon. And I've got to say, you had a few too many champers, Mr. Lee.
I did, and I actually had to call the wife to come and pick me up because I couldn't drive home, because I purposely got her to drop me off because I knew we were going to have a few champers. I say the pizza, you did really well.
Thank you.
And I'm also going to say, and you're probably going to be a little annoyed about this, but the cake was a little dry because it was three days old.
I did buy it on Tuesday and it was already, it was about 2 days out of date, but I saved 75 cents. So, in this day and age, Mr. Lee, every cent counts.
Absolutely.
But it was lovely to celebrate, and we're now back into another episode, which is our Talking Flickster. We have somebody on today to talk about Clown in the Cornfield, Mr. Lee. Are you a clown fan? Do you like clowns, or they scare you? Because you're either one or the other, aren't you?
Yeah, well, as I said last week, why do they make clowns who are very happy, cheerful people into horrors that go around slashing people? Like, that's not right, is it? So I have to say I'm not a clown fan because of that reason.
Well, if you watch this movie, you certainly won't be. It looks awesome, Clown in the Cornfield. We will dissect it after we have a listen. Enjoy this one, Mr. Lee.
They're really big on tradition around here.
Every year, there's this parade where everyone gathers around a friend of float.
Friendo.
It's the clown on all the Bay Pen corn syrup labels. He's practically a local legend.
Smile, Philly girl. You're about to become a sensation.
Be careful who you hang out with. There's some real weirdos at this town.
Six. Yeah, very funny, man.
Hey, Ginger! You okay?
There's a psycho dressed up like Brendo trying to kill us!
While Grant Lee recovers, I will introduce today's Talking Flickster. It's Felicity. G'day, Flick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hello. Welcome to Talking Flicks. And how good is it, Mr. Lee? Our Flickster is Flick.
Yes. How good's that?
It's meant to be. Usually you come up with that corny crap.
And I must say, gentlemen, congratulations on 101 shows.
Oh, thank you, Flick. That's awesome. Thank you very much. Well, we did have a speech prepared, but I put the time and place for it. No, that was last week. Yeah. That's okay.
I still can't believe we did it.
I know. Now for 200. So we've got another 99 to go, and that will go very quick. But Flick, it's great to have you on the podcast. Now, you're a big movie buff. How do you go with your horror films?
I do dabble in the horror genre every so often. I don't mind ducking into my local Forum 6 to see the horror films showing. So, yes, I would say I'm definitely a fan.
Good, yeah. Mm. And how many horror films have been out this year already? Like, it's a real year for horror again, isn't it?
Yeah, and not just average horror films. Like, we've had some really good ones come out. We've had some really highly rated ones, which I think are well reviewed. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Clown in the Cornfield, how does that stack up?
I really enjoyed it. For a 90-minute horror film, I really found there's surprising black humour in there that really caught me off guard. I really had a good laugh as well as some jump scares, so I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't like is the jump scares. That's what gets me. Hey, so you said dark humour. What do you like horrors that have got comedy in them? Do you think it's a good way of doing a horror sometimes with comedy?
I think there's certainly a genre of horror films like Shaun of the Dead that's got, you know, some classic one-liners in there that really spice up a horror film. And you can have a bit of a laugh at yourself because does it really need to be taken so seriously?
True. The town of Kettle Springs, it's described, you know, as being decaying and nostalgic. How did the setting contribute to the film's atmosphere? So when we look at it, this is what the film centered around, isn't it? This town.
Yeah, so I thought the film really leaned into the authentic small town American country vibes. I really liked all the local characters in the community. Some of them are not so welcoming to newcomers. There was a lot of side eye, a lot of judgy looks. No smiles or handshakes for the newcomers into the town. I thought, Keller Springs was set up to be, your pretty standard small country American town. I really liked it.
How long into the film did it take to see the cornfield?
Pretty much the cornfields were there within the first 5 minutes, I think. They had a cornfield party. So, plenty of corn. There was lots of corn.
Cornfields freak me out. They really do. Like, that's one thing that would get me, I reckon, is the cornfield. Yeah. Freaky.
Nah. Were people walking around eating cobs of corn, popcorn, like all that sort of stuff? Anything to do with cobs of corn?
Cobs, not cobs of corn, but golden syrup. They were into the corn syrup.
Can be used for so many things, Corn. We'll turn this into a cooking podcast. Keep going. Well done, Mr. Lee. Anything you can do to get away from horror talk.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about the clown, Friendo. Now, very scary. From what I've seen in the trailer, like, it just, this is one hell of a freaky clown. Tell me, how scary actually was Friendo in this movie?
I think Friendo was pretty scary because he wasn't a supernatural clown. He could have been anyone in the small town community. Friendo kept you guessing right until the very end, trying to work out who the villain was. So I definitely thought he was a pretty diverse clown. Yeah, he kept you guessing. He was pretty traditional in his attacks. I thought he was a bit of a slasher clown. Traditional, you know, blood and gore. There was nothing magical about it.
I have to say, Friendo is a great name for a clown, but not for a horror clown that goes around slashing people. Like, Friendo, really? Like, that's, yeah. That makes me feel like he's a nice... tell me, what was he, like, compared to Pennywise or, you know, other clowns, what was he like? Could he be anything like Pennywise? Because I know Pennywise, the clown from It, and I've seen It many, many, many moons ago, the original. I haven't seen the latest ones. But, yeah, what was Friendo like compared to them?
I think Pennywise was really creepy, a really freaky clown, whereas Friendo was a violent clown. He wasn't a mysterious fighting clown. He was in your face with the chainsaw chasing you through the cornfields, you know?
Yeah, that is freaky. Oh, that's it. Is it really, like, is it really that graphic? Like, is there a lot of gore?
I don't think it's, like, it's not very realistically graphic. So I definitely think similar sort of leaning into the the traditional slasher, blood and gore, but not really like realistically graphic. It was kind of funny, yeah, attacks like that, really. Friendo was pretty wild in some of the things that he did to people.
Yeah, see, that just scares me. So the film is described as a self-aware parody of the 1980s slasher movies. Did you find it nostalgic, or was it innovative, or was it, you know, out on its own?
I thought it was pretty nostalgic. I thought there was a lot of horror scenes that we've seen played out in other films before. You know, you had your traditional chainsaw, you know, you had a lot of splashing with knives and things like that, but they really put a little bit of a comical touch on some of those scenes. Like, they knew that they were overdone horror scenes, but they made them just that little bit over the top comical, which I really enjoyed. They didn't take it too serious. They wanted to make it an enjoyable horror scene for everybody.
Mm. The one thing that horror films can be critiqued on and cop a bit of but negative feedback for is being predictable. Would you say that there was much of this predictability throughout the movie? Like, there's parts where you go, I know what's going to happen here.
Well, I went and saw this film with my partner, and he and I were guessing the whole way through the film who the villains were until the end. And yeah, I didn't think it was super predictable because we didn't get it right. So I'd say there's definitely some guessing to do there.
So am I sensing a bit of a twist?
I think so. Yeah, I'd say a twist towards the end. Yeah, I'm definitely not going to ruin it for anybody. But yeah, I think there was a twist towards the end for sure.
Ooh, how interesting to have a horror that has a twist of something.
Horrors can have twists, Mr. Lee.
Oh, well, I was thinking, do they have a story? But anyway, hey, what did you think of Katie Douglas's portrayal as Quinn, the daughter?
I thought it was great. So she was playing, the aim for her was to play a authentic, traumatized teenage daughter trying to grow up and rebel, but at the same time she loves her dad and she's trying to support her dad. I thought she was a really likable lead character. I really wanted her to succeed. In a horror film, it's a real flip of the coin. Are you gonna live the whole way through the film and make it to the end? And I really wanted her to succeed, so I was cheering for her.
Because sometimes you get some of these characters that are, do we use the word dumb? You know, kind of like they do very silly things. You know, and you see it in every horror film. You know, going into the house when you should be running away from it, things like that.
Yeah.
Was Quinn doing much of that in the film?
Quinn seems to be doing all the right things. She was hiding at the right times. She was coming out with the classic one-liners and stepping out, being confident and showing them who's boss. She seemed to be all over it.
Did she offer much to the? Because you mentioned, you know, this black comedy earlier on in the podcast. Do you see much of that from Quinn? Is she involved? Is she throwing out some funny one-liners?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's a particular scene with two teenage girls and a old vintage dial-up phone that just had me giggling. Yeah, absolutely. She's a funny lady. I really liked watching her in this movie.
That's so good. Now tell me, do you think there would be a sequel without giving anything away, but do you think they could, or is it a one-only movie?
I'm thinking this is a one and done, guys, with the vehicle driving off into the sunny distance. I think it's probably nicely closed off.
But as we always know, money talks, and if it does well, it's already taken just under 500,000 in Australia alone in the last week. So that's pretty big for a horror movie, taking that sort of money. So you never know. If we'll have a look at what the worldwide figures are, and you never know, it might be a sequel if it pays to.
Because the movie did come from a novel, didn't it? It was a young adult's novel. Have you read the novel? Like, did you know much about the novel before watching the movie?
No, I only realised that it was written made from a book after I watched the movie, actually.
I don't know whether I could even read the book, you know.
The book wouldn't be as graphic because, well, unless you've kind of put the picture in your mind.
Don't they explain it in your, like they're explaining what's happening, you know, the chainsaw's going down. Yeah, no, I don't think I could read the book.
Depends on your imagination with the book, right? Because it'll be your own film in your head while you're reading the book. It depends how scary it's going to be.
True.
And you know what? I could miss those bad parts, couldn't I? So I could just go to the end of the movie.
Oh, I know how you'd do it. You'd be one, two, skip a few, 99, 100. Yeah. That's what you'd be doing.
Correct.
You finished that book already, Mr. Lee? Yeah, I gave it to you 5 minutes ago. Now, let's talk about the sound in the film, the sound design. I reckon sound is a massive part of a great horror film because when you're sitting there in the cinema and you've got the surround sound feel and those little jump scares that come out at you, how did you find the sound in Clown in the Cornfield?
So I thought particularly the quietness of the cornfield was really interesting. I thought they did a really good job of showing how disorientated you can get in a cornfield and trying to hear your friends who you can't see, and you can hear something creeping up on you in the cornfield, but you're not sure which angle it's coming from. I thought they did a really good job of portraying how a different sound from different angles, and you never know what's going to pop up or which way you've got to run to safety. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't think I'd be yelling out. I think I'd just be keeping quiet, crouching down somewhere, and just staying there till the sun comes up. Is what I would be doing. Is that? Would you two be doing the same thing? Is that? Am I alone here? Or
no. I would do the same thing because why do you want to yell so then the clown, Fredo, knows where you are?
Exactly. Like, you don't do that. That's the dumb thing you do.
I would crouch down, but I would actually probably crawl out of as much as I could go because in every horror movie, someone falls over. Like we were saying before, you know, the typical thing, you look around and then all of a sudden you trip over this little tiny branch.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Lee, but if you were calling out for me, I wouldn't be answering you. And I'm sorry, but that's...
That's no different to what it is now, is it? There's no different at all.
You're not coming to your rescue.
I'm on my own anytime.
Running the opposite direction. As fast as I can. Yeah, no, I would come back, Mr. Lee. You know I would. Okay. So who do you reckon would be appealing to this one, Flick? So obviously horror fans, but those that might love a good slasher, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I think young adults. Yeah, I think millennials too, to have a bit of a laugh. Yeah, I think probably a younger audience. Not necessarily the oldies. I think they might get a little bit freaked out with the blood and gore, but yeah, I'm thinking teenagers. I'm thinking young adults. Yeah, anyone who's into a traditional slasher, horror film with a few laughs thrown in it.
That's really good.
Yeah, still not me. Sorry, still not me.
Are you sure, Mr. Lee? I'm sure we'll win you around. We've still got a couple of minutes to go. And our talk of Flickster from last week, Byron, he had a question for you, Flick. And this is the question Byron would love to know about.
So Felicity, being a clown horror film, my question would be, if you're going to watch a movie with a movie clown in a cinema, which clown would you sit in a cinema in the dark with from any movie?
I thought long and hard about this, and I chose a clown that's not super scary. I would love to sit with Ronald McDonald because maybe he brings some fresh chicken nuggets.
You know what? He did just say any clown, so
he did.
Yep, that's fine.
I went with a nice safe clown.
Yep.
I would do exactly the same thing, Fleck. I would be sitting with Ronald McDonald as well, because at least you know it'll just be nice and comfortable. You don't have to worry about watching him, you know, if he pulls out a knife or something. So there you go. That's a good choice. I like that.
All right. Well, let's open up this freezer, Mr. Lee. I think it's that time. Do you want to give Flick the Choc Tops?
Yeah, look, I've got 5 Choc Tops here. Actually, talking of, what's your favourite Choc Top flavour?
I'm a big strawberry Choc Top girl. Yeah,
we haven't had a strawberry.
No, we haven't.
No, it's different.
And tell me, does Wagga have strawberry all the time?
Absolutely, they do. They make delicious strawberry Choc Tops.
Because it's lucky, because in Tamworth we have it as a special, so we only have it every now and then, so it's not always out. So there you go. So I've got 5 strawberry choc tops. How many choc tops are you going to give Clown in the Cornfield?
I'm giving Clown in a Cornfield 3 choc tops, guys. 3 out of 5.
Wow.
That's pretty good. I like it. Anything over 3, 2.5 even, is pretty good. So yeah. 3, that's pretty good. And for a horror film too, you know, because horror films can be hit or miss. But, I think that's a pretty good score if you ask me.
Very good score. Well done. Well done.
Thanks for going along and checking that out, Flick. Next week, we are reviewing... Oh, this is going to be great, Mr. Lee. Next week, yes. Can't wait for this. Final Destination, Bloodlines. It's been a long time between drinks. Flick, I will be doing this one next week. Yours truly. I'm looking forward to... I think this is my first time in the Talk and Flicks to Pedestal with Mr. Lee. I'm very, very nervous about this one. So what's the question you've got for us for next week, Flick?
Okay, so my question for our Final Destination film viewer. Final Destination is about traumatic everyday items. I remember watching the Final Destination films 15 years ago, and I've never been able to drive on the highway behind a log truck ever again without thinking about a Final Destination film. What everyday object could be used in a Final Destination film for a traumatic jump scare? What could they use to traumatize a new generation?
Well, that is a good question. That is a good question. Oh, okay, I'm going to have to think about that one and come in with something really good next week. I've got 7 days.
Yeah, you've got 7 days to think of something. Wow. I couldn't even think of anything off the top of my head at the moment. Jeez. To beat a log. Yeah, and I remember that scene too.
Out of all the movies, there have been some crazy deaths. There's just things that you just don't think are possible.
Elevators.
Yeah. Mm. Planes.
Garbage disposal.
Ladders. And looking at the trailer, there's some new ways to die. So, But Flick, thanks so much for coming on Talkin' Flicks. Great to have you on board.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
And Mr. Lee, look, Flick gave us a raving review at the start of the show, so we've got to get it back on again. I think she can come on anytime.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, definitely come back because I like that. Anyone that gives us a good report back, I like that.
Just move everybody else out of the way and just get Flick. She can come on if she wants. Thanks, Flick. You have a lovely day.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lee. We're getting out of here now.
It's that time.
We're coming back on Friday at midday. Yes. What's on Friday's show? What do you want to get your stuff together and just give us a sexy hook as to what's happening on Friday? Make it good.
Okay, well, there's a new movie opening on Saturday. And we don't normally have a movie opening Saturday, but it's a massive, massive movie with one of my all-time favourite actors.
Yeah, he is your favourite, not...
Yeah.
A Saturday movie, and this is the reason why you put it on Saturday, because you just don't want to be there when it comes out, because you're off Saturday, aren't you? Yeah, I know what you're up to. But anyway, we will discuss that movie plus a whole lot more, including Final Destination Bloodlines, this coming Friday at midday. We'll catch you then. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.
Bye for now.
Want more Talking Flicks? Get your fix with every episode, anywhere, anytime. Just search Talkin' Flicks on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.